surprise this morning. It's not Aaron preaching, but it is me, and I've said this before when I'm up here that I'm not much of a preacher as much as a teacher, okay? So I hope to be able to teach and give you some illustrations this morning concerning Happy New Year. It's a new beginning, isn't it? It's a new year. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning, and we can rejoice knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But I want to start this morning by turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I'm not sure if we have that to be able to put up on the board or not. Philippians chapter 3, and we want to begin at verse 2. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. And I'm just going to stop after I read this first verse, and I promise that's the last time I'll stop throughout the reading, okay? But it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, of the mutilation. Now, what in the world could Paul be talking about? Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the mutilation. Well, the problem was, back even in the early church, there were those that said it wasn't just the amazing grace that we just sang that will save you. It's the amazing grace, but you have to also obey the Ten Commandments. You have to also follow after the holy days. You have to also be circumcised in order to be saved. And they added things to the grace of God to say, this is what you need to do to be saved. And so he says, beware of dogs. These are the guys that are saying that works will, along with grace, will save you. Beware of evil workers. Again, following after the holy days worshiping according to the Old Testament. He says, beware of mutilation. He says, beware of these things because they're gonna interfere with what the grace of God really wants to do in your life. So let's read on. It says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Let's read together, please. Read with me. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul is listing all his qualifications here. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in my following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Let's have a word of prayer as we contemplate the word of God. Our gracious God and Father, we come to you thanking you for your goodness and grace to each one of us. We thank you for loving us. And Father, we thank you that there's nothing we could have done to gain our salvation. It's all you. And you've given, poured out your grace upon us and given us eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, how he lived a perfect life, how he died on the cross for our sins, and how he was risen again to your glory. And Father, we know that if we believe in you by faith that you've given to us, that we can also have everlasting life in Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got to get ready to preach here. Don't worry, I have something on underneath this, okay? Everyone's all, oh boy. I think I'm going to pull my headset off with this. We'll see. Maybe not. I'm wrapped up. I'm wrapped up in my work here. Okay, there we go. Wow. It was October of 1970 that the last time I had this jersey on. Playing for the Tyrone Golden Eagles, okay? The last time. But, you know, this time of year is a great time. I love this time of year because, you know, there's football constantly, you know? And being a football player in the past, I love to watch some of these games. Some of these games have been really great lately, haven't they? Okay? But what I wanted to do this morning is kind of compare some of the things that Paul is teaching here in the Scripture with football. Okay? You say, well, that's odd. How could you possibly do that? Well, let me try here this morning, and if I fail, that's okay. I need a volunteer. I need some. Anybody here ever play football? Anybody here play football? Who? Hayden. Okay, Hayden, come on up here once. All right. Good job. All right. Hayden, what if I, now you have to kind of use your imagination here, but what if I had the ability and the power to say, Hayden, you are going to be on the National League football team that goes to the Super Bowl this year, and not only that, I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to win the Super Bowl. What would you say to that?
Pretty nice.
Yeah, that's done it. Would you be willing to take that invitation?
Yes.
You would. Okay, thanks, Hayden. I appreciate that. You know what? We've been invited to go to something far better than the Super Bowl, okay? Far better than the Super Bowl. And that is, we have been invited to have everlasting life and enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. What could be better than that? The Bible says that if we, that God loved us so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again. You know what? Jesus may come again at any minute. There's not a thing that has to be done for him to return and call his church to be with him. He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The first thing about being on a team is that you have to join the team. You have to join the team. The thing about being on God's team is that the invitation is there for you to join. All you have to do is receive the invitation. The Bible says he came into his own and his own didn't receive him. That was the Jews. But he said, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Even to them who believe on his name. So we need to do nothing of our own. Jesus did it. He just says, receive the free gift. I'm going to invite you this morning, if you're sitting here, maybe you've never received that gift. Maybe you've never joined the team of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But God, even while we were yet sinners, demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Would you receive Jesus today? I'm just going to have a prayer. And if you're sitting here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you pray to receive him this morning? And this isn't your prayer that's going to save you. It's your willingness to join Christ's team that he's invited you to join. Our gracious God and Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I don't deserve to be part of your team. But you've invited me, and I'm asking this morning that you would save me today. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again, and that through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, I can be on your team. I can have everlasting life. I pray, Father, this morning that you would save me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, joining the team is not through our own qualifications. Notice here, if you follow along in Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 4, Paul said, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul says, hey, if anyone's qualified, if anyone could go to heaven because of their works, it would be me. I have all these qualifications. He lists them time and time and time again. But what's he say? He said, that's not what God says. That's not the way to everlasting life. It's not by our own qualifications. Paul said, it doesn't matter how much you have done, how righteous you have been in your own flesh. What matters is you have received the free gift of salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I'm reminding the Philippian church of this, that they weren't saved by their own qualifications, it was by the grace of God. And he says, starting at verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What did Paul want for his life? He counted all that as rubbish. If you have the old King James Version, it says dung, okay? Crap. I count all these works as dung, rubbish. They're not good. They're not good enough to get me into heaven. The only thing that is good enough is what Christ did on the cross. He paid for my sins. He died for me. He rose again from the grave for me. He had victory over death. And because he did this, I too can trust in him to take me into eternity and spend eternity with him. So there's nothing we can do. We can't pay our way into heaven. Paul realized that. If you turn over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4 there, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We have been saved by grace. We have been saved by grace through faith. And we didn't even muster that faith up within ourselves. It wasn't something we said, I'm going to have faith. No, it's God-given faith. God gave you the faith to believe that his finished work was enough to save you, to take you to heaven. The other thing is that he says, starting at verse 9, let me get back here in Philippians. Starting at verse 9, he says, and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul's saying, I need to take off my uniform and put on God's uniform. I need to be identified with Christ. You know, why do football teams, why do they wear uniforms? Be able to tell one team from the other, right? Guys, you remember when you were growing up, you went out in the backyard to play football, and what was it? Shirts and skins, right? Shirts and skins. You knew who was on your team by the uniform they had on. We believe in Christ. If we trust in him as our personal Savior, it's up to us to put on his uniform, to wear the uniform. We should stand out from the rest of the world. We're in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? We should stand out. As believers, what uniform are you wearing? Do people see a difference in your life as opposed to the life of others that are walking around this world? Turning back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting at verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Put on the whole armor. Put on the uniform. Stand out for the Lord. Let your life be a testimony of what he has done for you. People ask me time and time again. I hear this question just about every day. When are you ever going to retire? When are you ever going to retire? One reason I don't retire is I can wear the uniform of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of 215 people every day. And I can show them a picture of God's grace. I don't want to retire. I want to stand up for Christ. We're to put on the Lord. So we need to join the team. We need to wear his uniform. Second thing that I would like to say this morning concerning, we need to follow the coach. Right? In football, if you don't believe in the coach, you're not going to have a very good team. If you don't believe what the coach is doing is the right thing to do, you're not going to be a very good player. You're not going to be a very good team. If you go out and do your own thing as opposed to what the team is doing, your team isn't going to be very successful. I always was told by our coaches that you're only as good as the weakest link in your team. Okay, if you have one weak link in your team, that's as good as you're going to be, because that's what the opponent is going to see, your weakness, and then he will be able to take advantage of that. I can remember in March, early March of 75. I'm sorry. It was 1975. I was invited to go down to Williamsburg, Virginia, and to tour the campus of William & Mary, which is where I ended up going to school, okay, in William & Mary. It was a blizzard here in Pennsylvania. It was a Friday night. We had to leave around midnight to get to Williamsburg early in the morning. Okay, snowing, and it was a lightning, and ever experienced a lightning and thunder snow? I mean, it was lightning and thunder, and it was snowing like crazy. We had about 8 inches of snow on the ground. Dad was driving. He got us down. I always have to appreciate my parents that they helped me through. But he drove down. I remember halfway down, his windshield wipers stopped working. He had to stop every so often and wipe the windshield off, you know, to get there. But he was pushed forward. He pushed forward, and then we got down to Williamsburg. I was supposed to meet the coach at a gymnasium. It says Blow Gym. Now, can you imagine that? Who wants to go to Blow Gym? we didn't know where it was. We didn't have GPSs back then, of course. We had no idea where it was. So he's driving around campus, and we're looking for this gym. Nothing looked like a gym. So we stopped and asked somebody for directions. A college student was walking along. We said, hey, where's Blow Gym? And they pointed to this old, decrepit building in Colonial. It was part of Colonial Williamsburg. And it was an old building. And we walked in there, got into the gymnasium at the time we were supposed to be there, and out comes this little, scrawny, blonde-haired guy with thick glasses, looked like Coke bottle bottoms, and he was talking with a lisp. And he says, Dave, I'm glad you could get it down here. He says, I want to introduce myself. I'm Coach Lou Holtz. Now, Coach Lou Holtz didn't mean a hill of beans to us. This was his first coaching job. You know, had I met him today, that's Coach Lou Holtz. He was Notre Dame. He was Arkansas. He was the Jets. He was, it would mean something. But at that, he was just beginning. And this little old guy come out, not old, he was young then. But he signed me to one of the football players that took us around campus. And then I spent the evening along with some other recruits that night at the dorm, and then got up the next morning, and I walked in, and Coach Holtz was there where we were having our breakfast. It was at the student center. And I went in, and he said, listen, he said, I want you to know two things. He always told everybody who came down there. He says, you have a chance, you get a fine education, and you have a chance to play as a sophomore. Now, you think, why sophomore? Freshmen weren't eligible then. Okay, you have a chance to play as a sophomore here at the College of William & Mary. He offered me a free ride to the college. And I knew all my career that was my goal, to go somewhere and play football early, and that's what I wanted to do. I knew that my parents couldn't afford to send me to college. There is no way. They couldn't afford it. And so the only way to get there was to get a scholarship. Now, he was offering me a scholarship. So I had a decision to make. There were several other schools involved. What do I want to do? Do I want to get down to Miami and play for the Hurricanes? Do I want to go to Syracuse, New York, or do I want to go to William & Mary? I thought, I want to play early. I want to be on the team, but I want to play. I want to be part of the team. I want to be out in the field, not on the sideline. And so I chose William & Mary. What I'm trying to get at here is that we have been offered, as people, human beings on this earth, we've been offered a full ride. Nothing that we can do to get it. But the coach, the supreme coach, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, has offered us a free ride. He paid the price. He gave his life. He rose again. He's living in heaven at the right hand of God. He's inviting us today to come on a free ride to all eternity. All paid for. He paid it. Verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Something else about playing football, you better get to know your coach, okay? Paul says here, to know him, be found in him. to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I'll never forget, first day on the practice field. I went down there. It was August, hot as blazes. It was stinking, 95 degrees and 90% relative humidity. It was horrible. Walked out on that field. What's the freshman's job on a team that you are not eligible to play on the varsity? Your job is to be the dummies, okay? Your job is to be somebody on the team that they were playing that next week so that you could mimic the player that you were supposed to be. So they took us into a room. They showed us a film, and they said, now look, watch your guy. Watch the guy that's in your position, and you need to be him out on the practice field against the varsity. I went out there, first couple plays, boom, you know, really hustle trying to get, you know, trying to make a good showing, right? You don't want to get down there and not be in the center across from me. I was playing nose tackle, and the center across from me says, listen, take it easy. You don't have to go all out. This is practice. Well, the next play, I took it easy. I listened to what he said. Coach Holtz is up in the press box. The press box was looking down on the practice field. He had a megaphone up there. Who's that nose tackle down there? Son, you need to give him a good look. You need to go all out every play. You can't give him a good look unless you go all out. So we need, as believers, we need to go all out. We need to give it the best that we possibly can give it. We are his workmanship created unto Jesus for good works, right? We need to give everything we have. And this is what Paul was saying. The only way we'll sharpen each other up, the only way we'll help each other out to be a good testimony is to go all out. Go full blast. Don't take a break. Work to be the best player, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul wasn't saying here that he wasn't sure that he was saved or not. He was just working to be the best testimony that he could possibly be. He wasn't done. He wasn't done because, the next point I would like to say is never stop. Never stop. Look here, it says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I'm not stopping. I press on. I don't care that I've started the church at Colossae, the church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, the church at Rome. I'm not concerned about all the things that I've done. I'm pressing on, and I'm not stopping until, our coach always said, don't stop until you hear the whistle blow. Paul wasn't going to stop until he heard the trumpet sound. That's what he was waiting for. Paul believed that the rapture of the church, that God would rapture the church in his time. And he was disappointed each morning when he woke up and he was still here. But he wasn't going to give up. He just kept pressing on, pressing on. He wanted to be the best player possible. Don't stop until you hear the whistle. Last week, and it, you know, we don't know when our life on this earth is going to be over. But last week they were going to recognize Franco Harris as the Steelers. They were going to recognize him as the great player that he was, the contributions he had made to the Pittsburgh organization. And they were going to retire his jersey Tuesday of that week. What happened? Franco passed away. Franco passed away. We don't know, do we? We don't know when our last breath is going to be. But we know this, that we need to press on. We need to go until we hear the whistle. How many here saw the, they kept playing it over and over again. Did you see Franco's, they called it the Immaculate Reception, okay? Franco's running down the field. Bradshaw throws the ball, hits one of the defenders, bounces off of him. Franco catches the ball right before it hit the ground and ran for a touchdown. Won the game, sent the Steelers to the Super Bowl. Okay? What a play. What a play. What if Franco, when he saw Bradshaw throw the ball, what if he had stopped? What if he had just hesitated a little bit? Wouldn't have happened, would it? His immaculate reception would have never happened. You see, we can't stop. We can't stop. I don't care. I'm 69, but I can't stop. Paul was aging. He wasn't going to stop. He was going to keep going. He wasn't going to stop until the trumpet blew. And he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to forget. You think Paul ever made any mistakes? You think he ever... Well, he said in Scripture, didn't he? Say, the things that I know to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that's the things I do. He made plenty of mistakes. As good a witness, as good a testimony as he was, he made his share of mistakes. But like out on the football field, if you make a mistake and you dwell on that, you're done for the rest of the game. You're not going to be able to complete the game. You're not going to play well. You need to forget. It goes as well for good plays. If you made a good play, you need to forget that too. And just press on. Press on. Forget what's behind you. There's not a thing you can do. There's not a thing you can do to change what you did yesterday or last year or last week. You can't do anything to change it, but you can change what you do today. You can be a good teammate. You can be a good player for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can serve Him with all your might, with everything you have. Forget what happened. Get up and brush yourself off. I used to... I'm sorry for reminiscing, but I used to think about... You'd play in the game, you know, and you'd miss a tackle, or you would... I played defense, so ball right there, you know, and you missed it. And coach used to say, "Did you bruise that ball as you batted down, you know, instead of catching it?" So, but anyway, you would think to yourself, "Ooh, that's not going to look good tomorrow afternoon." Why? Sunday afternoon, you went into the film room, and they played back what you did the day before, and you always look forward to those plays. And they had every play listed on a piece of paper, and they said whether you did your job or whether you didn't do your job, whether you did well or did horrible, you know. And so you knew when your plays were coming that you failed, that you didn't do well. And a coach would get on there, and he would say, "Grace, right there, if you would have been right there." And I thought to myself, I can't climb up on the screen and do it over again. It's over. It's done. But you can learn from that. You can learn that the next time that happens, you need to do something different. Is your life like that today? Press toward the goal. Press toward the goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. That's the call when the trumpet blows and Jesus says, "Come up." And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will join them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Press on. Press to the goal. And we need to do that together. It says, "Therefore, as many as us are mature and have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Let God teach you. Let God teach you what your part is, what you need to be doing. "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." As a church, we're a team here in Tyrone, right? The Grace Baptist Church is a team here in Tyrone. We need to have the same mind. We need to work together. We need to press on and share the gospel with those that are around us. We need to share the good news every opportunity we have. We need to share Christ and invite people to join the team. And I don't mean that they have to join Grace Baptist, but I mean they to join the team for eternity. Join the team that by the works of Christ, by his grace, are going to be spending eternity. There's no I. Our coach always had that up on the board. There's no I in team. No I in team. We need to work together as believers. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can worship you this morning. We're thankful for a new year that we can start new things. Father, help us to forget the past, learning from the mistakes we've made, but to press on so that when you come, you'll find us busy in your field of labor, the missionary field. Help us, Father, to be a good testimony for you. I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus, that you would bring them to the place that they would accept Christ today before it's eternally too late. Father, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for new opportunities. Pray that you would use us in a way that brings glory to yourself and that brings others to come to know Christ as their Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a happy new year. Keep pressing on. Lord bless you as you go.